is a good God. What I'm going to do tonight, before we do anything else, I just want to preach. It's unusual. We normally do the offering and things like that. It's okay with everybody. I'm going to preach. The power of God is going to come in this place tonight. It's already here. And getting over the Easter flutters and everything else we've got going. And we just got to focus in on Jesus like we're doing. And I've got a great message. Is anyone heard of Oral Roberts? Yes. Great man of God. And in the specials in the 30s and 40s and 50s was probably one of the greatest healing evangelists. And built the most incredible Christian university that produces men and women of God. And not just in the church world, but in the secular world, all over planet Earth. And he's copped a lot of flack. But what an incredible man of God. He's in his 90s now and still going. But many, many years ago, he preached a message entitled The Fourth Man. And I'm just going to take extracts from that tonight just to acknowledge it. There's nothing worse than a preacher getting up, making out he's got some great revelation, but you've heard it, another preacher preach it years before. And I remember, anyway, it doesn't matter. But that was it. And so I'm going to do that, but it's my message that will be coming through. But I think the power of God, and I want you to respond tonight. And normally we're very quiet. This is more inspirational preaching tonight. And somehow God's just going to use this. It's jolly well hot in here. I hope there's no heaters on. Whew. Is it the Holy Ghost or is it heat? I don't know what it is. It's jolly hot. All I know. But anyway, turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. If you don't know where that is, I'm not sure myself, so that's all right. It's just after Ezekiel, actually. Daniel chapter 3. You know, first number of chapters, you know, Daniel, it's obviously about Daniel. That's why he wrote the book called Daniel. Great prophetic pictures of the end times. But we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were three men that were with Daniel that would not compromise their standing and character with God. And what had happened was the king made a decree, and he said that everybody, when the musical instruments would begin to play, that absolutely everybody had to fall down and worship the image. And these three guys refused to do it because they only served the Hebrew God, which is our God. They only served God, and that was it. And so he wasn't going to bow his knee to anything like that. And so this concerned the king because these were three of his prime young men. These were three men who refused to eat the king's food but said, well, look, you know, let us just have vegetables and see what it's like after 3 weeks. And if we're skinny and we're looking sick, then, you know, well, whatever. But anyway, after 3 weeks of this, 21 days, they look better than all the, just having vegetables and water, than all the guys eating the king's choice food. So they didn't get away with that. But they couldn't bend the rules. They couldn't bow their knee to another god. And they're a great example of many young people today, friends, of young people, don't bow your knee and compromise to the things of this world and the temptations that this world can offer. That applies to us all, but especially young people. You got your whole life before you. So why screw it up on just a few emotional decisions in our teens? It's a bit silly. But the ideal thing is to keep our eyes and minds fixed totally on Jesus Christ. And as we're focused on him, everything else will come right to us. But anyhow, this is what happens. The king gets really angry with these guys. If you guys don't bow your knee, then I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And then the king got so angry, he made the fire 7 times hotter than normal, to the point that when the soldiers opened up the fiery furnace, they were instantly killed with a heat because of the intense flames that were coming out of it. And so this is what these three young men were going to look forward to. But in verse 15 of Daniel 3, where it says, now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the sigh, the lyre, the harps, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from your hand? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want to let you know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the gold image of gold you have set up. This is an incredible, powerful truth here of these men, that they said, okay, whether our God delivers us or not, whether he does a miracle and stops us from getting burnt in the fire, or whether we die in the fire, we just want to let you know right now, King, we are not bowing our knee. And that's the sort of spirit that men and women of God are made of. That's the sort of spirit that revivalists are made of. People who are so committed to God, whether it goes well for us or not, we will not let our focus be off Jesus Christ. No matter what trials we go through in our life, no matter how much we mess up every now and again, our focus is directly on Jesus Christ, and we will let nothing get in the way between us and him, whether it goes our way or not. Now, that's a pretty powerful thing to do. It's easy to talk about, but in the midst of trials and in the midst of this fiery furnace, I don't think any of us will ever have to experience being burnt by a fire. But we sure get burnt by the fires of life. How many of you had a few tribulations in your life? Yes, it's not very nice, is it? And we've had a few ourselves. But you see, and it's not always good. But the best attitude to have in the midst of all that, and it's hard, is to say, well, whether God delivers us from this or not. Whether he delivers us from it or not, we believe he will, but even if he doesn't, we are not bowing the world to the God of this world. We're not bowing our knee to the God of this world. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to let sin and corruption come into our lives. We're going to remain on top for Jesus Christ. Now that what happens then is Nebuchadnezzar then approached, let's have a look down to verse 24, you know, because what had happened was they're thrown into the fire. As I said, it's heated seven times hotter than usual. And here we go. They're put into the fire. They're actually bound. I don't know why they got bound, but they're bound them with ropes in the fire, threw them in there. And in verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Were not there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, O king." But he said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth one looks like the son of the gods." Isn't that incredible? You imagine being there in that great miracle. There's thousands of people all around watching this. They thought they'd be seeing their three friends sizzle like sausages, you know. But not only did they not smell of smoke, not only did the flax or the rope that bound them just fell off, they're unharmed and they were walking around in the fire with a man, with a fourth man, who looked like the son of the gods. Well, you know, I wonder who that fourth man would be. I wonder who he is. I honestly believe it was Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. Before he was in the flesh, before he came in the flesh, he still existed, friends. Well, Holy Ghost, this is where it's going to hit now. Turn to the person next to you, if there's someone next to you, and say, "This is going to hit now." The atmosphere is okay, but nothing marvelous. Go on, say it to him. But nothing marvelous, but it's about to get extraordinary. But who is this fourth man? Who in the world is he? Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely amazed. These three men, we bound them. They should be dead. They should be burnt. We should just see their bones. Even their bones would be melting by now. But no, they're walking around as if they're having a party while this fire is blazing hot. Not around the fire, but in the fire. And he says, "Who is this fourth man?" Well, if you just study the Bible, we begin to see who Jesus Christ is. Because if you look at the Bible, in every book of the Bible, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Every book in the Bible, the chapters or the books represent Christ. So who is that fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet likened unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human lives. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our dayspring from on high. And he's our ever-living redeemer, because Job said, I know that my redeemer lives. In Psalms, he's the Lord our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's our lover and bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband, forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet of carrying the gospel. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist, crying, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, he's the savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain open in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. That's what the Old Testament says about Jesus Christ. Now this is what the New Testament says. Who is this fourth man? In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's our justifier. In Corinthians, he's the gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians, he's the Redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ with unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all of our needs. In Colossians, he's the Godhead in bodily form. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's the soon coming King. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's the chief shepherd who shall soon appear with crown of unfading glory. In 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, he is everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming back with 10,000 of his angels. In Revelation, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah! That's who he is. Jesus. 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 King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory to God. Don't tell me you can't see Jesus in the Bible. He's everywhere. The whole jolly thing is about him. And it's going to be about him forever. There's not going to be a new Bible written. We'll be learning about this forever. People denigrate this Bible to saying it's God's manual on earth. It's far more than that. It's God's abiding word. The grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. What will we be learning in heaven? Whatever, wherever you left planet earth in your faith and knowledge of the word of God, that's the training school you'll be starting at in heaven. And angels and great men of old will be teachers. And we'll be learning the word of God forever, then going to the throne room and worshipping him forever. I think it's a pretty exciting life. I'm telling you, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nothing fake about Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. What else you got to say? Absolutely nothing. That's it. I've said it all tonight. I'm telling you, the power of God is here. Power of God's here. He's coming on 10 people now. He wants you to start running around this building, running around this auditorium right now. 10 people. The Holy Ghost is on you. Do it now. Quick, quick, quick. Just run, 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 run. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's another 3 of you. Mighty Jesus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's still another 4. 3. 1 more. 2 more. It's got to be 10. These guys are going to be tired. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's it. 1 more lap and that's it. Thank you, Jesus. Now drop down and give me 20. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. That's a formalism.